Welcome, this is Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau, and I want to remind the audience this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thought, new thinking, new ideologies than you've been taught to think and to believe about yourself, the world around you, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to talk about paying attention to vital indicators and signs about the transitions throughout our lives. Now, I'm going to open with a personal story that happened just recently and why that means a lot to me. I had a very dear partner, second partner in my life, many years ago. And after many years together, we found that it was time for each one of us to go our separate ways, but we never argued. It was a wonderful, loving relationship and friendship, but I always felt that a marriage should be much more richer and deeper than just that at the end of it, and it can be made so. But each of us left with a high regard and respect for one another, really cherished quality. But we, from time to time, every, oh, say, several years, we'd kind of keep a hello going. And just a couple of years ago, I asked this partner. I found, I guess it was a link up or a LinkedIn or something that happened. I thought, how wonderful. And so we connected on email. He said, oh my goodness, glad to hear from you. Can't wait to catch up. And then I didn't hear anything from him again. And he had since gone on with his life. He had remarried and had some children and moved to another part of the country. And I thought, oh, that was wonderful. But I always wished him the best and he vice versa. Well, just recently on a Sunday evening, right around 8 o'clock, I got this strong hit or this strong feeling that I should go look him up on the internet. So I looked and looked and looked, and lo and behold, very quickly I was drawn to what, I don't know how I came across this, but it happened, the date of his death that apparently had happened exactly 1 year and 1 day to the time that I am looking it up on the internet. Exactly. 1 year to the day prior. So I thought, oh my goodness, how could this happen? He meant so much. But I have a different or a metaphysical stance about death and passing on. I know we have one soul that lives forever. And we keep getting into these nice bodies and cultures and countries and genders to complete our lessons on a soul basis, because that's all we're taking out of here, is that growth. But I was shocked to know, because he was vital and he was youthful and he had a beautiful humility, gorgeous guy, but really sweet and handsome, wonderful, kind to everyone. And I thought, my goodness, how could this happen? How could he go so early? What happened? Well, his brother had lived with us for about a year when he was going to UCLA. And I had gotten really close to the brother. We were all great friends. And I couldn't find anything about the brother on the internet as well. I thought, wow, searching all through, you know, you dig and search through on the internet. And then I remembered he had a younger brother that had come out to pursue professional golfing. And I didn't know that brother very well, but I knew of him. I thought, well, let me check, let me see, Southern California for a list of golf courses. Well, that's laughable, because in Southern California, there are probably hundreds. What am I saying? There are thousands, all right? But I go and I generate a list on the internet that comes up for Southern California, but only one, something like a glow hit over one country club, one name out of this long list. And I said, that's it. I'm going to call that. If it's not, I'll just check. But I'm going to call that one. But it was Sunday night. So in the meantime, I had that number down. I was going to call the second brother that was the golf pro in the morning and then get the information as to how this had happened, how my dear beloved friend had passed on at such an early age in his life. But I had now listened to the indicator of that prompting to go on the internet. And so I knew that I could all of a sudden feel him in the room. And I could tell he was smiling. All I can tell you is I knew he was in the room with me. He knew I knew what he was doing. He knew I was psychic when he was with me. And I could feel this nice peace with him, his attitude and his approach. And I thought, wow, okay. And so I started talking like normal conversation, as you would to someone that was in the room, because his presence, or he actually was in the room, but a different dimensional level. And it felt really good. I thought, okay, I'm going to look up the other brother and I'll call and check on how this all happened, how this came to pass, how his transition had come to pass at such an early age. So sure enough, the next morning, I called that one country club that stuck out of that long list of Southern California golf courses and country clubs. And lo and behold, there's the voicemail. It comes on of the main number for the country club. And they say, if you'd like to speak to the general manager. And they gave his name. I was shocked. I thought, oh my goodness, he's general manager now. And so I pressed the key for the general manager and I found that he was gone for that Monday, that day. And so I thought, darn it, okay. And so I still kept checking for the other brother on the internet. Couldn't find anything but one little lonely picture, but nothing to designate how to get to or how to reach him. The brother that had lived with us for that time going to UCLA. So the next morning, I wait on Tuesday now. Remember, this has happened Sunday night. And on Tuesday, I'm rapid and ready to call the brother. Well, the first call, I'm meeting with an assistant that says, oh, he's on the grounds. I thought, okay, but he'll be back in an hour. And with bated breath, I'm still waiting till about 10 o'clock to call. So I call the brother, and he says, oh, yes. He said he vaguely remembered because he was a younger brother. And he said, well, he passed away all of a sudden of lung cancer last year. In fact, this time last year. And so he quickly explained and what had happened. But I went on to tell this brother, that was the golf professional, I went on to tell him what his brother, when we were together, what he thought of him, about him following his career and how happy he was that he was determined to make it in pro golfing world. And I let him know what his brother thought, because his brother didn't say those things to him when we were together years ago. And so he gave me the other brother's, and I asked for the other brother's number, and he easily gave it to me. He was on the cell phone. He said, sure, here's his number. So I called his brother, the other brother that had lived with us. So sure enough, that was Steve. And so I called Steve and left a message on his voicemail. There was nothing there but the voicemail. That was Tuesday afternoon at noontime, just a couple of weeks ago. Now, when I finally got to the brother, I talked to him again that evening. He said, I'm just getting in from the gym. My wife tells me the dinner won't be ready for 45 minutes, but I'm glad you called. He said, but there's something strange, Antoni. I don't know if you realize this. He said, but I couldn't believe I was getting this message from you. He said, I didn't know where you were to let you know after all these many years to tell you that, Greg, my ex, had made his transition. He said, so I didn't know, how to tell you this. He said, or how to find you. But I knew, he said, something inside me told me. I knew one day we'd talk. He said, but the shock to me was when I went to pick up my messages at lunchtime. He said, the shock to me was this is the exact anniversary of his memorial service that I attended back east. He said, so it kind of freaked me out that you called. I said, well, Steve, he said, but I know you're psychic, Antonia. I said, but I try to pay attention to those cues that I was given. So he went on to tell me what had happened. And basically, just before Greg's birthday, October 30th was his day, that two-month period prior to the birthday, and I always try to warn my clients about that period of time. Doctors know that period, more deaths happen, more 2 months prior to that birthday, more illness happens, more disease, more garbage, more complications tend to happen in that two-month period prior to our birthdays. It's a medical fact. It's taught in medical schools. And so I try to prompt clients to be aware, to relax as much as they can in that two-month period prior to the birthday. But the mind, body, and soul tend to be at its lowest point of energetic levels. So you got to take your vitamins, eat right, sleep in late, rest when you can, ease up on yourself. But whatever you do, try to relax as much as you can because it's the lowest point of energy. You're running on fumes those last 2 months. Well, Steve told me that my ex, or that Greg, had actually during that period of time in September, just before that birthday, he had developed a serious cough that wouldn't go away. Couldn't get it to go away. But he was in vital health in every other way. And in October, just before the birthday, he found that he had a severe pain in the neck that wouldn't go away as well. Nothing he could take would get rid of this pain. So he decided to go to the doctor. And he found, when the doctor checked, he said, oh my goodness, the doctor said, there's a large mass in your neck that is eaten halfway through your vertebrae in your neck. The doctor said, I'm surprised you didn't have a broken neck at this point. He says, but I have to do further tests immediately. And the doctor tested and found that he also had tumors throughout his lungs and into the brain at this point, all rapidly progressing. So he told Greg that there was nothing we could do but make you comfortable, and so he went into hospice care. Meanwhile, they kept him stable, and apparently the wife wanted him to go home for Christmas. So she arranged for him to just come home for that one last Christmas with their daughters. Well, apparently he never made it. He did make it home, but they had to immediately call ER, and he didn't make it out of the car consciously. He was unconscious from that point on till his passing, 1 year to the day that I'm looking him up to find this information out. Now, the eerie thing was when we were together when I was in my 20s, we had met in college and had mutual friends and had been together for many years. Well, I remember waking up next to him and upset because in that waking dream, I had been shown his coffin and him laying in the coffin, and I didn't believe he was in that coffin. That was years ago that I had that dream. And I remember in the coffin, I went up to look to see if that was him for real, so close that I could see, and I could see the growth of hair that still happens sometimes after someone passes, as it grew right in front of me in the coffin. And I told him about it. I was kind of sad and crying. And I read all the books at that time. I was heavily into metaphysics long before then. So I realized that sometimes when you dream of a person, it means that their life is going to be longer. But I had an aha moment here today, because I realized I was given an indicator long ago that I would be given the knowledge of his passing. Here I was, all these many years later, paying attention to the signs and indicators of hunches of the time that he promised to pass before he was born. All these things are beautifully timed by the universe. There are wonderful indicators if we just show or prove or hope to pay attention to them. All through our lives, there are many brilliant ways the universe gives us to see these indicators, to know that there are times to everything. There is a time and a season, all for a reason. So I was happy to give the information back to both brothers about how well he thought of them while he was here, but also thought he was pretty smart and pretty swift to contact me, who he knew would pass on that information and be able to get this indication through, even though he had passed on. So it's important. Time is only here on the earth. Remember, we live forever. We have one soul that lasts infinitely. And this is just time, what I call on Earth School 101, that sometimes feels like 60 to 90 years long or less, or more. And that's all it is an Earth School 101. So I want to help you all to understand that you need to pay attention to those gut level indicators. And there are many such indicators that the divine universe has given us throughout our lives, if we would pay attention. This is Beyond the Here and Now, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Spiritual talk and mystical revelations, Beyond the Here and Now with Antonia Lau.
Looking for great deals on apparel? Visit OnlineSalesMart.com. Currently, we have authentic Armani designer sunglasses at $100 or more off original price. Novelty neckties of all types for under $10. Necktie sets at discounted prices. And high-quality and genuine leather dress shoes, wallets, handbags, briefcases, and more for less. Visit www.OnlineSalesMart.com. All major credit cards are accepted and all orders are shipped on the double. Once again, that's OnlineSalesMart.com.
If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, you need Peak Foods and Peak Herbs. Peak Herbs can repair any damage, and Peak Foods can boost every function. Your body knows exactly what you need, and it can tell you through your feet. This process is a natural healing practice called Raphaology. Joseph Knowles will provide you with complete healing modalities by combining Raphaology and myofascial release hands-on therapy to release blockages that contribute to dis-ease. Call Joseph Knowles at 213-820-8880 to start your complete mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual healing today. That's Joseph at 213-820-8880.
Spiritual Talk and Mystical Revelation. Beyond the Here and Now with Antonia Lau.
And we're back. And this is, of course, Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And you can find more information about me and what I do at www.inthesecretgarden.com. Today's topic, we were talking about paying attention to indicators and remembering that the universe offers us indicators and starting to open to some of those throughout our life for a better quality of understanding why we're here, what our purpose is, and what those experiences are there for. And I'm very happy to have, after a reconnection of many, many years, Eric Starwalker as my online guest today, astrologer extraordinaire, I will say. How are you, Eric, and thank you for being with us this evening.
Well, what is time is time. It happens. Yeah, it seems like just yesterday that we talked. You know?
It is correct, and I think probably a span of at least 15 or more years, I would think.
Yeah.
There was something that hit me or prompted me, Eric, and it was on Facebook, and isn't that the social connect of the world these days? I happened to go past and find an article that you'd written, and it was a brilliantly put article about things in divine timing, or through the use of astrology, and the what you called it, I believe, Eric, was the dance through the cosmos? How did you put it?
I don't recall the article that you read. So.
Okay, that's quite all right.
Fresh my memory.
But basically, it was basically you were saying that there's a dance throughout the planets, the stars, the planetary structures in the cosmos that affect us, if we'll but pay attention to that dance. And today,
yes, it's not a one-way street. In other words, you know, I find I have to kind of educate people about astrology once I first connect with them, because the impression that's given through a lot of astrology is that your fate or destiny is determined in a one-way, you know, one-way fashion by the stars or the planets, and that's not at all how I've experienced it. It's they're living conscious beings, part of the matrix of this living universe that we're experiencing, and they literally dance with us, and we dance with them. And so it's an interaction, it's a relationship that's formed rather than a one-way street.
I like to use the example, Eric, of the moon. Because people are kind of familiar, the moon has an impact on us. Okay, that impact is sometimes felt in strong emotions between lovers or when there's a full moon, and also could be arguments in a place where a relationship is in a point of tension. And, you know, police know that during a full moon, they're going to have more crazies, more phone calls of problems happening. And again, doctors know that there's more bleeding during surgical procedures during a full moon. So people know the rudimentary stuff, and I hate for us to just, as a population or society, we kind of just only stick on that Sunday paper astrology stuff. And I'm just going to say, or just let the audience know, when I met you, you gave me a couple of indicators in my own life. And I like what you said, because it's based on the consciousness. And I know that we asked to come here at a specific time. And I see that the birth data or the birth chart as a computer lesson plan for things we have planned to get rid of, experience, achieve, for evolution of the soul, as well as for the personality. We have free will to apply that information to the lesser or greater degree, or fall somewhere flying under it if we choose, based on free will. But you gave me indicators long time ago, and I'm a hard and fast skeptic. I'll always say that because I love that proof. And you happened to look at my birth data on my natal chart, and you saw a transit of Pluto. And that day you mentioned to me, and at that time I was just into the, you know, beginning stages of astrology, because I had done all the metaphysical studies and so many other topics all my life already, still continuing all that study, still do. And I thought I would only be able to learn the little bits that I, you know, just learn the 12 signs and the indicators, and that's about it. Let somebody else handle that. Well, what happened was, Eric, you came and told me at that time about the transit of Pluto passing my ascendant. And so I thought, okay, yeah, let's see the money in the bank. Okay, that's nice. It's nice to hear. Nice indicators. But I'm always, you got to show me. I'm that way. I sat on conjunct Neptune. I like to know the proof. So I thought, yeah, but, you know, I can control myself because you told me. It's like that horse in the barn on fire. And if that barn's on fire, that horse will kick the doors down to get out. And I didn't believe you. I thought, I have control of myself because you had indicated that it was the overflowing sexual energy that was going to hit and that I would be super...
Well, you know, right?
I thought, I am aware of my sexuality and how to control it, and I'm proud of it. And I know it's strong, and I can still be in charge of it. What the heck? I am in charge of myself. And I thought, well, thank you very much, I indicated. Well, lo and behold, Eric, at that period of time, you told me this, I guess it was 6 months before it was supposed to pass. And you said it so casually, so lightly, so I could take it or leave it. Okay?
Right.
Okay, well, lo and behold, a few months later, I didn't know what passed, nothing happened. All of a sudden, I'm in the shopping at the grocery store in the middle of the afternoon, middle of the day, got the cart half filled with items. And I'm the kind of person that I never leave my cart in the aisle. I would take everything out. I do all that kind of stuff. You know, that's just me. Well, all of a sudden, something overtook me. I left the cart in the middle of the aisle with the stuff in the cart, got in my car in the parking lot, drove all the way home about 3 miles, went and closed the door, and I'm sorry, and we're all adults here, but I had to make action happen to relieve myself, all right? In the best way I knew how. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what in the world just happened to me? What happened that would make me, first of all, leave a cart half filled in the grocery store, drive home to handle this activity in the afternoon? But you had warned me, and I had forgotten. Well, lo and behold, I watched that because I like to do heavy-duty research, Eric. And I watched for that period of time every time I started to then look when it was going to pass. And I thought, oh, it'll not. You know, I can just handle it. It won't happen again. It was some to the times to the point when it was on its onset, that transit or that timing factor based on advanced astrology, how it should be looked upon. And it would sometimes be 6 times a day that I would have to.
Wow.
Well, I survived.
Did you find that your Kundalini was being activated?
At that time. I even held a class. Yeah. I believe I had a workshop in Kundalini yoga at the time. Oh, actually, it was actually, it was a workshop in tantric yoga, but a special way through the Kundalini, okay?
Exactly.
So I watch now several years past that point, and when a client or a person or friend will come, one friend, his girlfriend was worried. He thought he was turning into a werewolf because he would attack her and couldn't let go.
Oh, my God.
So I smiled, remembering what you told me years before, looked at his birth chart. And there it was, that little ding saying, okay, it's time. And I calmed him down. I said, these are when it's probably going to be likely to happen. This is why you're not turning into a werewolf. It's okay. But it only happens once, if it happens in someone's chart, every 84 years. It's going to be okay. So.
Well, it's actually 248 years. So it takes about 250 years to make a complete circuit around the wheel.
To go through each sign. And to go through each sign, am I correct? It's 84 years to go through each sign, and then 248 to go.
84 years is the Uranian cycle.
My apologies.
250-year cycle.
Okay. So ultimately, 250 years is a long time for it to hit, is all I'm saying. And I wish.
Yeah, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience that if you survive, you pass.
I did. And lo and behold, I poured out and got every reference book I could on astrology and started right then to study because I wanted to know what the heck was going on and how this was so accurate. And this is the information you talk about, this dance of the cosmos, that we're affected by in a wonderful way. We can utilize it to our best benefits or worse.
Right. It's all opportunity. And if you understand the nature of the opportunity, then you can dance with it and really enjoy the awakening process.
Well, I think in that instance, I did. There were other parts of that transit that weren't that I still had to deal with for a 14-year pass through my first house. And so I won't use so much astro speak. Yeah. So at that,
any time, if you're familiar with Carlos Castaneda's teachings,
Carlos,
are called in by you at a time when you really are asking to take your power. Because, with a petty tyrant, unless you take your power, they run up right over you. But they, without realizing, they're serving you. But, if you understand that Pluto's transiting your first house, this is my chart, I'm calling this in. I'm calling this person or situation into me to challenge me. My own power, and then you actually, you don't take it personally, and that the universe is picking on you. This is, you realize that you are calling this in as an opportunity to awaken. And that's the beauty of knowing, the patterns activated in your own chart.
Well, what's interesting, I want the audience to realize and recognize how important what you said to me those many years ago, because at that exact time that was happening on my physical level and Kundalini level, I absolutely attracted a severe stalking issue that connected all through, that I'm still dealing with ravages of to this day. And I mean a severe stalking issue that cost many things that I had to let go of, my home, a lot of the business, because this tyrant apparently was connected from past life, actually, a soulmate or karmic mate.
You had an agreement.
Exactly.
Right.
So please, I want you to let the audience know that these agreements, as you stated before, are what each soul plans beforehand.
And it really brought the power back into my own center, because I realized I was really manifesting all this for this opportunity. I wasn't powerless in relationship to it.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of the Starwalker path.
What I liked was with that even in the incidents of the severe stalking that left its deleterious effects, I never lost sight of in fact, it intensified my goals, my mission, my aspiration for teaching metaphysics, for the study of metaphysics, for the knowledge of passing it on, and doing what I came here in this world. It made me focus. And I remember my mother saying, I don't know how you get through all this. She says, it's like you just, I said, I don't know either. I just flow like water. If there's a little tiny crevice, I'm finding it and locating it and using every step of intuition to get through this. Because, of course, I had no help here in a large city. How can I say it?
You're a number six. Your birthday is the number six.
Yes.
And so it suggests that it's not who you are, it's the path you chose.
Exactly.
To advance your soul's growth. And as a number six, your frontline work is in the arena of human-emotional relationship. So, that stalking experience in your marriage, the story you told at the beginning of the show, those are all, that's the area where, you're both challenged, but you also grow the most.
Exactly. And so I think I got A's on both those, but it's to indicate that even all of us are here for this school. But there are kindergarten classes, there are college classes. No one person is better than another, just different. But you're not going to give a kid in, as I always say, in kindergarten, a calculus test. That would be for the college student. So even the Dalai Lama is working on, he can't go home. He can't go to his own country, his own bed, his own palace. So each of us have these wonderful, like you said, these opportunities for soul growth if we choose to accept them.
Yeah.
So
the signals you were talking about are called gestures of the spirit in Toltec shamanism. The universe is alive and is constantly trying to get our attention, gesturing to us.
Yes.
But usually we're so busy we just run right by them and we don't get the signal.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
Exactly. Now, you've been in this work for more than 25 years. It's a long time.
I've been on this path for a while. Lifetime. So I just picked up where I left off.
What's indicating is what I mentioned earlier about the moon and its impact on us. Some people are confused because of celestial bodies. They think are going to impact us physically, but actually, it's the energy. And you put it so eloquently when you said they have spiritual bodies. I always say as Mother Earth. She has a soul. She has a planetary soul. She's growing and evolving,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, they're living beings.
Exactly.
They
so ultimately, at this time we come across with the chime of great change on the planet, I had metaphysically I had asked for, been guided to look into, and I found that apparently in the late 1930s to the early 40s, our consciousness as humans had kind of dropped down to a low vibratory rate. And the Earth herself screamed out to the cosmos for help because we had pulled her energy so far down, she would have died and we on the planet with her. And so throughout the greater cosmos, it was heard. And beings from the rest of the cosmos started to come and visit to help on a spiritual level and a physical level from that time forward. To pull us and her back, because she had made an agreement in the symbiosis to take care of us.
How'd you come up with the
30s? Ultimately, I always asked to be guided to real information, then I confirmed it, and I knew it had resonated, been confirmed and tested. And oddly enough, that was a time of Hitler and the Third Reich and the inception.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that Pluto was actually first sighted in 1930.
And therefore, that led to the atrocities of World War II and all the world in chaos at that moment in time with that opening or that awakening. And that was our choice of experience.
Yeah, and we also gained the power to actually destroy all life on planet Earth. That's a very plutonium theme.
And wasn't it plutonium that was the bombing, the atomic bomb at the time? So that energy, what I want people to get from this, and we're going to pause for a break, and we're going to come back in just a moment to continue our conversation with Eric Starwalker, astrologer, on Beyond the Here and Now. We'll be back in just a moment.
Indy 100.
And we're back. This is, of course, Beyond the Here and Now, and today's topic we're talking about paying attention to those indicators and clues outside ourselves that the universe has viably around us all the time. And I'm very happy and pleased to have my online guest, Eric Starwalker, astrologer, advanced astrologer. And we've been talking in the last segment about that inception I mentioned of Mother Earth crying out to the universe. But that you stated was when we located Pluto, when that planet was founded, and that impact on us physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
Yeah, and since we're on the plutonium topic, whenever Pluto changes sign, it suggests a new phase of initiation, a new arena of initiation for the human race. And Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008 fully. So, and Capricorn is right, he's the power and stewardship of the planet Earth herself. Alignment with harmonic relationship to the Earth and the peoples of the Earth. So
Yes.
And, you know, the United States of America actually has Pluto in Capricorn, 28 degrees. So the United States of America, it was basically called the carpet in terms of its right stewardship of the power it has both to influence and modify civilization itself. So, and that continues through the teens into the early 20s. When the United States of America will actually have its first, possibly only Pluto return.
Wow.
And, each of us is being given an opportunity to become more conscious about how we engage with civilization at this point. And it's been a huge revolution in consciousness, in our awareness of how human civilization is impacting not only each other, but the planet itself, and how that were set in the building of civilization thousands of years ago are now coming to full fruition for all to see. The idea of our having to reassess the nature of civilization itself and model it, a new global constitution is really what's going to be coming front and center more and more so over the next few years. I don't know if you're aware of Bolivia and having rewritten their own constitution with a Bill of Rights for Planet Earth. That model is just now beginning to emerge and will become more tangible and you know, the human race becoming more amenable to considering that idea because of the nature of the crises that are unfolding on the Earth.
So ultimately we realize it wasn't just the green and the days of going green and everybody thinking about that. That was like the slowly opening awakening consciousness that we needed to be more green, more aware of the earth, our stewardship, as you stated, to her, and our responsibility as a being on the planet that we promised. So ultimately now it's getting, with the Pluto in Capricorn, we're seeing, like I said, it looks like the ego has been placed aside, and we're more aware of how we interact with one another. And what I mean by ego is those that are in power and suppression, because that was not in the same consciousness that is conducive to the growth of ourselves or Earth. So it's being torn apart.
Right.
So that
this is a very old story that's thousands of years old, and that we've been building upon, you know, since that time, generation after generation, to establish right relationship with each other and the earth herself. And the civilization itself became a model of in contrast, we're at war with the planet Earth in order to protect ourselves against the elements and the challenging nature of planet Earth herself and nature. But now we're coming full circle to the point where we're realizing that those inherent flaws in civilization need to be addressed.
Yes.
And indigenous cultures around the world are being looked to because they have, through their own experiences of their natural environments, established harmony within their own cultures.
Yes.
And that's why we are looking to them to offer teachings and solutions to civilization as a whole coming into greater harmony with the natural environment.
Western.
But, you know, sitting where I'm sitting right now, it's like, well, we, you know, unless we get some real help, I'm wondering how we're going to pull this one off.
Correct.
It's like huge, you know, because of the very nature of our civilization itself. Worldwide, it's being called into question. This is just, you know, an economic crisis.
Yes.
Global initiation.
Yes. So Pluto is the herald of transformation. So I would say it's in its sign of Capricorn. We're going to see those major transformation of what we see as a patriarchal society, a male-dominated society and world with those constraints. And hopefully we'll start to combine that right brain quality or the feminine or the divine feminine to come into balance. But I believe that there's a little rockiness that we're going to experience as we get on that boat and write these things. So,
well, along with Plutonian transformation, Neptune has just entered her own sign.
Okay.
This month, like February 3rd.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And this exquisite celestial, this goddess Neptune, And that's why she's associated with transcendent experience.
Yes.
And she has just entered her own sign just now for the next 14 years, offering an opportunity for profound awakening of humanity itself to its true spiritual origin. And that, in a way, is going to be going on at the same time as the Plutonian Capricorn, Pluto and Capricorn initiation of civilization itself. So, you know, many of the space fields somewhat apart from or separated from.
Yes.
This drama that's going on in the world, like, we can hardly relate to it because our own connection to the higher power is strengthening and being awakened. So it's like the distance between those two worlds seems to be getting further and further apart.
We're more aware of that that spiritual side of ourselves, that part that's been forgotten, is what you're saying.
Yeah, more opportunities for transcendent experience. And what I mean by that is conscious connection to the source itself.
Right.
People have had out-of-body experiences or seen, you know, seen a higher order being or had encounters that are just ecstatic in their nature, that reconnect us with the love that we are truly originally emanating from. That just open the heart and allow us to view this world as an opportunity to perfect and master that love. Those are transcendent experiences, always have that effect.
Yes.
So your heart is just wide open, and you see all this stuff going on in the world, and it's definitely not open-hearted.
Yes.
The contrast between the two just becomes really challenging.
Yes.
But it's our opportunity to deepen the love that can actually transform the world.
And so hopefully people will use that little gut-level intuition that's starting to awaken more and more, and this subject matter, start to investigate, I hope, in their own way, into the deeper levels of astrology than the little what's happening on this day. In other words, I like to offer astro.com or your services as an astrologer, and they can find you on Facebook under Eric Starwalker.
Correct.
Or they can email you personally, correct?
Yeah, I have an email estarwalker@yahoo.com.
If they want their own personal look at how they're going to be facing these major changes or transformations ahead, or how they, let's say, the options that are offered to them.
The opportunities, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, when you know your own astrological matrix and your chart, then you can recognize how you individually can play a part in the awakening, how you can best use the opportunity offered. One of the real beauties of astrology is the timing of it. There's like you mentioned earlier in the interview about the timing of that Pluto transit, but you know when that window or that portal is going to open.
Yes. Well, it saved a couple of lives, because when I let people know what was happening, they were able to handle it, equipped, or to understand that they weren't going crazy. And they were able to ease through the period as much as humanly possible. So just that, that little tidbit you shared at that moment helped the lives of many that I've talked to in the years since.
Yeah, you know, you just realize the universe isn't picking on you, and then you agreed to go through this experience at that time. It's like, okay, there must be a damn good reason for me going through this, because I chose this experience. You know, let's find the treasure. If we keep digging, there's treasure there. You know, keep looking.
At that time, I had just ended a relationship as well, so it was kind of tough. But in fact, that relationship ended up being the unfortunate or the fortunate stalking situation that was pretty intense. But it gave me this strength. There's nothing that could knock me over. I was strong before, but my goodness, talk about some resilience. And there's nothing
that... The shadow side of the six is knowing how to is really establishing healthy boundaries.
The
stalker was telling you that, you know, you can't just, you know, you got to have a healthy boundary here and know how to stand up for yourself.
Exactly. And I was that kind of person that way, but this is the test I understand now from the universe from a previous life, and that particular person took my whole life away. And this time I was not allowing it whatsoever. So I made several moves, residence changes, to make sure I was on top of it. But then I stood my ground, and I continued with career, got the radio show. It was amazing how what came of this for standing my ground. And again, proving to the divine universe and myself, I'm going to go no matter what. So I just don't stop. Robo-woman comes to place, you know. So for people in their lives, when they're going through what they think is an unfortunate circumstance, it's always an opportunity. And they have a choice how they're going to handle that opportunity. So I want them to choose the higher choice, not the lesser if they can help it, or choose the most intuitive choice. And with Neptune opening up, how can I say everyone, to that awareness, and again, to remember these heavenly bodies or these planetary bodies have an impact, not a physical impacting and hitting the earth, but a spiritual energy, a resonance or vibratory rate that absolutely we have a part of as beings on the planet.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when I first got into it, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool skeptic myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I have the ability to talk myself into anything. Okay, let's watch what happens when this particular planet activates another one. And sure enough, every time, you know, the transit would occur, the activation would occur, all these events would start magically unfolding around. Because I have no idea how this is working, but it does.
And I just
got more amazed with this celestial dance that's going on between us and the other members of our solar system.
And as we're learning this, we're going to pause for a little break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Indy100.com.
And we're back. This is A Course Beyond the Here Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And today's topic, we were talking about paying attention to those cues and the divine timing of life and those indicators that are always for us throughout the heavenly bodies of the universe that are not just for your Sunday paper astrology pleasure. There's much more to it than that. I'm very happy to have my online guest, Eric Starwalker, who's a phenomenal astrologer. And as I said earlier in the show, gave me some great details and lessons I learned. So, Eric, they can avail of your services if they'd like to have a look at their own chart with a professional appointment with you. They're welcome to email you at estarwalker@yahoo.com. estarwalker@yahoo.com. Or they can find you on Facebook under Eric Starwalker. It's essential because everybody has their own lesson plan or certain set of books, I call it, that's going to be different from somebody else's, so to speak. And so I just like to be practically planned ahead. And Taurus, I like that planning. And to be as prepared as possible to take the best advantage. But today I'd like to exchange, as a thank you for being a guest on the show, my offer as a professional psychic to do a little mini reading on the air. And so while you're gathering that question for me, I'm just going to explain to the audience. As a professional psychic, I am, of course, psychic, clairvoyant, clairaudient. That, of course, means that I see and hear. I only use the tarot, astrology, numerology, palmistry, graphology, personally, as a third point of reference only. Because, as I still say, I am the biggest skeptic in the entire world, and I'm proud of that. But I've been psychic since I was a little kid, and I figured God would not give a kid this kind of a gift for nothing. But I knew it had to be learned from the right sources, never the wrong. I study very deeply. I still have a voracious appetite for study from the right direction. But I knew many years ago I wanted more proven validity than just the study. So years before it was Trinity, they started giving that proof. On top of all this, I literally hear and I see my client's guide or guardian angel. No kidding. It doesn't have wings. That's our stupid human side that picked that up in the 5th century. That wavering, undulating, auric, energetic field. But that's how we drew it out. But what ends up happening is that guide is a highly evolved soul you chose between you and the divine universe before your chance here on Ursku 101 or this life. And what happens is they're always around. They don't judge. The number one quality is they're an evolved soul that never has to incarnate on the planet again. They're done with Earth School 101 and they excelled. You chose them to help you through this quality of life. And we have free will to listen or apply the information or not. But literally, the number one quality about that guide is they love you more than anybody ever will because they truly know what love is. And at the end of this life and during transition, you can go on the astro and talk and laugh and joke and remember the time you didn't listen to them and crack up. But in the meantime, we might want to pay close attention. So that's who literally guides the reading. During the reading, they're going to put me in your body. I'll see it through your eyes as you would, and I'll feel it physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally as you would. They'll pull me out of your body. I'll see you in the scene, in that scene that they're showing me, as well as they're talking and telling me stuff all the time. And I'm going to confirm it as well with the tarot as we speak and everything else. So, Eric, if you will state the question for me, please.
Okay, well, it's interesting because I'm real aware that I have a whole team that's working with me. I'm just a messenger boy. And they never give me names or they don't want me to be confused by who they are.
Correct.
They want the information to stand on itself.
Yes.
But I've always been curious, you know, about, I don't know if it's appropriate to ask who they might be or
yes.
Who some of them might be.
Okay. I'm going to ask Yeah, that's good. And that's a rare question I get. I'm going to ask if you would phrase it this way. Will they reveal more information about themselves at this time, your guides, at this time? I'm going to ask you to ask that, not to me or you, but in your own way to source all there is, God, Creator, your guides. Think it to them. At this time, will they reveal more information about themselves to you? And please say stop shuffling whenever you'd like me to stop, Eric. Now, this is interesting because as you started the question, they started to talk. I thought, okay, I'm listening to both of you guys.
They line up and take your tickets. So.
Now, the first thing I heard, one portion is from the area we call the Pleiades. I didn't expect that because basically a guide is a highly evolved soul that has its other sojourns elsewhere as well, but they're never going to be grandma and grandpa passed over because they were just here. What do they know? Just a little bit more than we do. It's not a friend or love and a relative. So I know these highly evolved guides at this time, you would have picked before you were born. Now, this is interesting. I'm going to tell you the answer to this. This is kind of crazy, though. I'm confirming what I'm hearing. But they said, on the air, we're not going to reveal more at this time. Except, and I would tell you on the air because I want everybody to know, except that they're showing me that you're going to be along your mission very shortly coming up. And it shows me there's an involvement with another female, younger than self, coming in as well, that has Libra strong in her birth chart, her sun or moon or rising. So you have another quick question for me, and I'll answer that gladly off the air for you. But they did state the Pleiades, so some of the source is from the Pleiades. Usually we have the main guide, and they'll bring the other bunch in for references that they don't have, and this is what I think you're connected to. The main link, and then they have this core group that comes and gives discourse with you. I heard them say that this is part of your residency. I believe that you come from that area, original DNA from that source area, okay? Part Earth.
Well, my moon and my chart is conjunct the Pleiades.
Oh!
You know, the home that you come from or your ancestry. But I've always known that. You're confirming it without question.
I love them so much. I'm getting goosebumps, and that friction indicates that means what's just been thought about, talked about, or said when we get those goosebumps in our lives, that they want you to note or pay attention to what they've said. That's awesome. There's no way I could have known, Eric. There's just no way. So confirmation as well. I love them so much, those guides. We need all the input we can get. We tend to use the 2% of our brain all the time and think we know everything. And this is what we're reconnecting at this time that you mentioned with Neptune going into its own sign these next 14 years. The indicator of yin and yang. We have to connect that right brain in there, connect to that divine universe. But I'm willing to go ahead because I didn't want to answer that to you on air. Let's give another one if you have. Do you want to know if you're going to connect more vividly to them or more tangibly to them in the next few weeks, months, whatever?
They're very close.
Yes, that's a definite.
I can really feel like I'm. This suggestion is in my own astro matrix that I'm actually being prepared for more of a full mediumship.
That's correct. Oh, goosebumps. And they indicated that you'll be embarking along your mission that you promised this lifetime. So I think all this other leading up to it has been a strong, beautiful foundation for what's to come, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know, Hagna said, there's a lot of astrology out there or astrologers. And I want to caution the audience that they should always be referred because there's a lot of schlocky stuff out there. And so they're always...
I don't advertise.
That's right.
Well, I mean,
That's right.
People, a major transition find me. And it's always amazing to me how they do. So, and I just, beyond the words of description or even the interviews, it's like, check this with your inner knowing.
Yes. Exactly.
But, just trust your inner knowing and connecting with me or anyone else. And it's who the person's become more than the tool that they're using.
Exactly. And it's all the knowledge that we glean or gain or learn is so we can help our brothers and sisters on the planet to achieve that same knowledge at the point when they're ready, at the time when they're open to receive it. So we
I just want to give you some kudos because you had a really hard time with me. You were right on.
You know why? I just pay attention to them. I just pay good, humble, rapt attention. Move out of the way and go, okay. What do you got? And my duty is I have to give the right information. And so I just, through the years, they are awesome. So I watched.
Our teams probably work with the same boss. So.
Exactly. Our thing. Because I'll go to the same way. I'll go to a psychic once in a blue moon, and hopefully with referrals. But earlier on, when I didn't know I'd be doing this, actually, earlier on, I was planning to be a doctor and then a metaphysician. But sure enough, I've been doing this for more than 30 plus years, and find out that was what I was supposed to do. But the ultimate thing is I would always watch and just kind of sit there and see if they were connected. And I want to warn people because a storefront gypsy is not the same thing. Somebody that tends to be more commercial is not the same thing. So just like you said, my best mentors and teachers have been unknown to most of the world. So I found that the teacher will appear when the student is ready is real. So,
absolutely.
And we never stop this growth. We never, Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, they're still working on stuff. We're nowhere close. So I want people to understand this growth process continues. And I have come to understand that humans on the earth, and this was confirmed, are at the level third at this point, third level evolutionary level. They're getting ready to go to fourth and some on to fifth, and earth herself fourth back where she belongs and up to fifth. But there are beings throughout the greater cosmos that God, Creator, Source, Force has created that are level 12, spiritually, mentally, technologically, and emotionally. So we have a long way to go of study and growth and this beautiful resonance as a soul, as these beautiful these beautiful infinite beings that we really are the people we're opening up to. And I want to thank you again for being on the show, Eric Starwalker. @yahoo.com.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And for the audience, I want to wish you all the best.
Scorpion gods, but it's a long way down, long way down. The road you're on is catching fire, you can't see what's around. The flame is strong, it's growing high. You keep missing that distant sound, and it's a long way down, long.